Oh yeah. Together, look. Here I am to worship. Altogether lovely. Yes, Lord. Here I am. Play that music and sing that song. Glory be to God. I like it real good. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Altogether lovely. Oh, yes. What a beautiful evening it is. Second Coming Chapel and Gospel Light House of Prayer. We're still here, even though the devil is trying to destroy us. Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, sir. Yes, Lord. Oh, yeah. Till he returns, or calls me home. Until he calls me home in Christ, I'll stand. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and yes, even foes in the family, and the standing between the living and the dead family, my beloved. After many years in the Second Coming Chapel, a ministry of Gospel Light, House of Prayer, and Gospel Light Society International, and after taking a break, we resumed the Saturday Second Coming Chapel service. And the title of this message my dear friends tonight thank God for our new audience our big audience so glad to have you invite your friends, invite your family members, invite your enemies, and hang out with me for a while. as I preach the Word of God on a Saturday night. And the title of this message is, We Are in the Midst of the Great Falling Away, or the Great Apostasy of the Church. And that is obvious. This is part two. And so, my beloved, allow me to read in your hearing, first of all, 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Now we beseech you, brethren, Paul is talking to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are living then and those who are living now, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come that is the day of the coming of Christ except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? I want to say two things right at the beginning. God and our Savior, his Son, Jesus Christ, they have a reason, they have a purpose to predict things. And I do not know all of their reasons, but they have a purpose behind telling you things in advance. And I believe, knowing the Lord for over 43 years and experiencing the fact that God has called me to be a prophet and an evangelist, that one of those reasons is to let you know that he is God, so that when it comes to pass, you know God did it. You know Jesus had already told you about it. Pardon me, we have something going on with our new audience. They're trying to do something good for us, but I can't take the time right now to deal with that. But thank you, new audience. Thank you for your comments. Thank you for your encouragements. And thank you for inviting others. We're right at 1,429 already. We thank God for people stopping by to hear the word of God. And so that's one major purpose. And I know that to be true because God put that in my spirit. He wants people to know ahead of time that he's the one who said it. He's the one who predicted it. He may have used a prophet. He may have used the means of having a prophet to write it down in his word. But he wants the world to know that when it comes to pass, that he is the author of it, and he told you, and he told us, and warned us that it was going to happen. Now, I cannot explain all the reasons why he wants us to know, but I have a few ideas. And there are many other reasons, I'm sure, that he wants us to know ahead of time that this right here must happen in this case first before the next thing happens. So you're not, don't worry about it. You're not in the tribulation yet. You may be having tribulation, but you're not in the tribulation. You haven't seen the tribulation until the great falling away happens. And that's happening. And I'm reporting to you that that is happening now. Dr. Warren Wiersbe, who served the Lord for many years and was a blessing to many pastors, he was used by God to be a pastor of pastors. And I remember when he started out being a pastor of pastors. Pastors all over the country were trying to get a hold of his commentary on the scriptures. And back in those days, I remember the days they use a machine, a little copy machine, and they bound it with a string and two blue covers. And God used his writings to be a blessing to thousands, yea, millions of saints down through the years. He's in heaven now. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe has accurately warned with a note of humor. And I want you to get this tonight. The purpose of Bible prophecy is not for us to make a calendar, but to build character. My family and I, way back when my children were little, sometimes we would go to sleep listening to a radio station, I believe, out of California. We were living in Georgia. And it was a good radio station, for the most part. Very interesting interviews and so forth. But for some strange reason, the owner of the radio station had this need to try to predict that Jesus Christ, the day and the hour that Jesus Christ was going to come, even though the Holy Scriptures taught us not to do that. He did it once or twice, I mean two or three times, and he was wrong all three times, and then he died. God did not call us to make a calendar. God called us to, by His grace, develop character in light of the second coming. God does not need us to tell anybody when He's coming, when Jesus is coming, but to preach about and teach about developing godly character until He comes. One Wiersbe said, Paul emphasized this fact in both of his Thessalonian letters. And our Lord warned us not to try to set dates for His coming. And that is found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 42. Wiersbe said, date setters are usually upsetters. And that's what the director of this radio station was. He was not a date setter, he was an upsetter. He upset his own family, he upset his own church, he upset his own radio station to until they went kaput, and he upset the nation and the world, telling everybody the day and hour that Jesus Christ was going to come. He was an upsetter instead of a date setter. And he's not the only one. We have witnessed several so-called date setters, and they're all dead now, and Jesus still has not come yet. And that is exactly what happened in the Thessalonian church. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. What we just read. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, and help us never to forget that you're coming back for us. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. I praise you and I thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came after many predictions and a long wait. And Lord, we know that He is coming back again after many predictions and a long wait to us. And so, Lord, help us to never forget that. Help us to live like that. And help us to be encouraged at that truth, that the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Son, is coming back. And Holy Father God, thank you for reminding us tonight through your servant Warren Wiersbe that we are not to make a calendar. We are to practice godly character. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for the millions, the many, and the manifold blessings that you have bestowed upon me and upon my family, and upon this ministry, and how you have used this ministry down through the years. And Holy Father God, I give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. I praise you and thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision, mental and physical blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Holy Father God, I pray, Lord, for the salvation of the of all of our audiences, have your Holy Ghost to not give them rest until they come to know you as Savior. Everybody who's listening to me right now, Lord, put them under conviction of their sins Help them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and help them to repent of their sins. For your glory, praise, and honor, and for their good, lest they drop off into hell at any moment and stay there to burn forever. And so, Holy Father God, help them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ said the most loving words and the most important words ever said in the history of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, help them to bow their heads right now under the convicting power of your Holy Spirit and pray a little prayer and ask you to save their souls before they die and drop off into hell. And Holy Father God, I pray on this evening that your Holy Ghost would draw the people you want to be here and to stay here from all over the world, live and on demand. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ forgive us who are saved of our sins, our faults, and our failures. Deliver us, Lord, tonight from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us, Lord, tonight your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to talk right. Put a guard in our hearts, our minds, our tongues, our attitudes, and our temperaments, that we would not sin against you. And Holy Father God, I pray for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Help us who are saved and born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb to humble ourselves, to pray, to seek your face, and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent, Lord, of our sins, and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, I know that there are some evangelical and Baptist and Protestant pastors' wives especially, and some women in the church do not like for me to pray the way I pray for my family and for my wife, for my in-laws and for my own mother, but they don't know our family, they don't know our situation, and they're really more concerned about stopping me so that their husband would not pray the truth about them and would not reveal the truth about them, acting like witches instead of godly Christian wives and mothers and women. For you have a standard not only for men, you have a standard for Christian women, not only for Christian men, but Christian women and Christian young people. And so, Lord, I continue to pray until my prayers are completely answered, as I've prayed about everything else. I am thankful that after over 35 years, my wife, Marika White, made a strong profession of faith in you on March the 4th in the wee hours of the morning, with tears, which she has never been willing to do until that morning. So I pray that she really got saved that morning. Since the beginning of July the 1st, she was acting real good up until June the 1st, Pride Month. But since June the 1st, she's gone back to acting like the devil and rebellious and stubborn, disobedient, with a bad attitude, and trying to hinder these services. And so, Holy Father God, I have told her if she can do that kind of evil behind the scenes, I have no problem praying about it behind the scenes, as I prayed about it last night and this morning with her. I have no problem praying about it in public at this point, after over 35 years of marriage, after raising 7 children by myself, with her still in the house. And so, Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as I pray about everything publicly and privately, I pray that you will save her soul for real, save her mother's soul, her aunt's souls, and her siblings' souls, and all of her family. And I do not only pray for her and her family, I pray for my family. My family is religious and I believe lost. For as Dr. John MacArthur has stated, and we will hear a little bit more about it tonight, if a person is truly born again, their life will be, their present life will be much different than their former life. And they will be more inclined to obey your word. So save my mother, save my siblings. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for the privilege of saving, the privilege of witnessing to my children and leading them to you at the age of 7. And Lord, all of them have shown themselves to be saved under my roof. I had to deal with a couple more than others, and I am still concerned about them. So I pray that all of my grown children, every last one of them, would examine themselves and see whether or not they be in the faith. And I pray these same prayers for everybody in our multiple audiences and their families. And I pray, Lord, for the salvation of their children as well as mine and my all of my offspring. And I pray for them by name, Danny, Daniel, and Danita. Danae, Daniqua, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Danielle. Duran, Danielle, and Quazia. And Lord, I do pray that you would cast the devil and the demons of hell mainly out of my wife of over 35 years, Marika White. Cast out the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias. And Lord, I pray that she would be what she has told me she wanted to be. And that is a virtuous helpmeet and wife. She has said that in front of you, in front of me, in front of all of our children, thousands of times, and every time she has lied. And so, Lord, I do pray that she would act like a Christian in private, being a true helpmeet and blessing to her husband, so that I can preach your holy gospel and your holy word as I have in spite of her, but in a much easier, smoother fashion. Cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias out of her life and out of her mother's life, her aunt's lives, and her siblings' lives. And break all generational curses, Lord, that come down from her side of the family, my side of the family, for I pray the same for my mother and siblings and family members. Cast the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic, demonic spirit of Judas, Jezebel, Sanballat, and Tobias, and break all generational curses off of my children, that they will not be like these people, for they can easily roll into that once they see it and they're around it, and once they offer them a little money. And so, Holy Father God, protect my children from it, and protect, Lord, all of the people in this audience and multiple audiences from the evils that come down through generational curses. And give us all sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the demons of hell. And Holy Father God, I do pray now for the salvation of the lost in this audience, in this country and around the globe. Save, Holy Father God, and revive those who are saved. Red, yellow, black, and white, for we're all precious in your sight. And Holy Father God, help us, heal us where we're sick and torn down, as even the old saints used to pray. And Holy Father God, protect us. And Lord, I pray that you will comfort us, Lord, while so many people in the millions are going through painful experiences, more so now than ever, especially in light of the coronavirus plague, with over 20 million people dead, impacting millions of lives. And so many other things are happening now that people are suffering from. Holy Father God, grant me your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit as we look for your second coming. Lord Jesus Christ, to give myself, as the apostle said, to prayer and to the ministry of your holy word. Thank you, Holy Father God, for your deliverance this past week. Thank you for the miracle that you did today. And Lord, I don't understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And Holy Father God, I pray that, Lord, you would work a miracle this week as we're facing more challenges, as we have for over 43 years, in full-time ministry and work, giving myself to prayer unto the ministry of your holy word. Lord, I pray that you would work a divine miracle and bless and grant us all of the money that we need to cover ministry expenses and other expenses. Lord, move upon the hearts of only a few people to stand with us and to support us. And Lord, this week we pray for over $2,400. That everything can be easily paid for and taken care of, and so that the ministry can continue to go on even though we have many enemies. In the church, in the world, and even in the family, they will love to see me cease and stop preaching nearly every day, even though I am not supposed to be doing this now, as I did it for over 7 years. But Lord, you have led me and compelled me to keep on preaching as the situation is so bad and we're in the midst of the great falling away. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you will lift those of us who are saved and born again in this audience, in these audiences, and they're saved and born again. Lord, lift all of our sin burdens, guilt burdens, care burdens, anxiety burdens, troubles, problems, and fears from our hearts, minds, souls, and spirits tonight. We cannot do anything without you. And Lord, we want to, we try to, but and especially for some of us, you have fixed us in such a way that we know we can't do it. And so, Lord, thank you for fixing us, and thank you for calling us, and thank you for helping us to remember what you told us to do. And Lord, even though it may mean poverty, I thank you for giving me a heart to embrace poverty, to embrace as Paul did, as Elijah did, as you did, Lord, for you had no place to lay your head, as John the Baptist did, who only had some wild locusts and honey to eat, and some skins to wear. So, Lord, help all of us who find ourselves in these necessities and difficulties, called by you to do something, to understand that wealth and prosperity is not in your plans for us, and to just accept it and to be content as Paul was in whatever situation he found himself. Every now and then, Lord, thank you for the blessing, Lord, for example, of my children sending me a gift of over $300 just using technology to order food and things, serving as a raven from you, my children, and having a whole bunch of groceries set at our door like it's from heaven, because it was. You touched their hearts. Most children who are grown would not do that, and they did that on their own. I had nothing to do with it. And so, Holy Father God, I pray that you would continue to bless me like that this week as we come to the end of the month and the first of the next month. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for doing this for us for over 35 years, in spite of the devil, in spite of my devilish wife. Lord, you have heard the prayers of this your servant and my children, and you provided for us down through the years. And Lord, you used people, not many, just a few. And some, Lord, we figured out who they were. They didn't tell us. They didn't want us to know. But I do pray that even though he is, one particular man is under great pressure to forsake us and to turn away from us and to turn away from this prophet, I pray that you will continue to touch his heart, to stand with us and to support us and to help us, because the war is not over, as he well knows, because he's under persecution himself. And Holy Father God, pardon me, Lord, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. I believe in your holy word. Help us all to walk by faith and not by sight. And Holy Father God, deliver each and every one of us under the sound of my voice, and who will be under the sound of my voice, even tonight. Deliver us, Holy Father God, from all of our distresses and afflictions, cares, burdens, and worries, and anxieties. Deliver us, Lord, from all of our tribulations, troubles, trials, temptations, tests, and tensions. Deliver us, Lord God, from our enemies in the family, in the church, and in the world. Lord, deliver us from people who hate us for preaching not only your holy word, but things that make common sense, and preaching against those things that don't make any sense, such as a man getting pregnant, a man with a man and a woman with a woman, which are abominations in your sight, and which has caused us to be in the terrible situation that we're in. And so, Holy Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would deliver us also from all of our spiritual and mental, physical and emotional, family, financial, legal, student loan debt, student progress problems, troubles and difficulties. Lord, especially with the young people today, cast the demon spirit of wokeism out of them and out of the adults who are pushing it. And Lord, thank you for revealing to me that the left is not right and the right is not right. Thank you for revealing to me that the Republicans are not doing right and the Democrats are not doing right. Thank you, Lord, for revealing to me that white people are not doing right and black people are not doing right. And nobody, hardly anybody, is standing for you and standing for what is right. On both sides, there's wickedness and hypocrisy and sin. And on both sides, there are people vying to be the president and the governor and the congressman and so forth and so on. But none of them have any intention on following you and obeying you. And that's not even what this country wants. They want cacophony and confusion and craziness. Yet, by your grace, you want us to stand for you in the midst of this confusion and wickedness. And because of the sins on both sides, nobody is right. Doesn't matter who is going to get into office, it's still going to be a wicked, evil mess. Because nobody is standing for you as they should. That includes the conservative church and the liberal church. Both are wrong on many things and are in collusion on some things. And so, Lord, all we have is you and your holy word. For your remnant, for your 7,000, for your faithful few. And so help us, Lord, because we know that you're right. We know that your word is right. And so, Lord, help your faithful few to continue to be faithful wherever they are in the world. And so, Holy Father God, help us to stop putting our trust and confidence in lying politicians on the right and the left, lying politicians in the Republican Party and in the Democratic Party. And then the No Labels Party is just as wicked. They don't know what they believe. And so, Lord, help people, help your people, not to put confidence, not even to watch the foolishness that's going on television. One channel airing lies about one candidate, another channel airs lies about another. This is all done for foolish reasons and flesh and self-aggrandizement and ego and promoting themselves. So, Holy Father God, we pray that you would help your people not to even be bothered with it, for it doesn't matter now. We all, the church and the secular people, the Republicans and the Democrats, the white and the black, we have all destroyed America by disobeying you. And right before the 250th anniversary of this country called America, we have failed you. We have failed the wonderful gift that you gave us. We have failed this country. And so, God in heaven, have mercy and grace upon such wicked people as we all are. And we all have done wrong. Please forgive us of our sins and help us to humble ourselves and help us to pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. And Holy Father God, I pray, Lord, tonight you'll bless and protect all of the children in this country and in the world from the demonic spirit of wokeism, and which includes homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism and all of the other foolishness that is going on. And Lord, protect all of the children in this audience, in this country and around the globe. Protect, Lord, my children as I pray for them by name, Danny, Daniela, White, Daniel White IV, Danita Evangeline White, Danae Mary Louise White, Daniqua Grace White, Daniel Ezekiel White, Danielle Elizabeth Breedlove White, Duran White, Danielle Tequila White, and Quazia White, and all of my offspring. And Holy Father God, I pray, thank you for protecting all of us to this day. Lord, if it all falls apart today and one of us die, or all of us die, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful years you gave us on this ball called Earth. It has been a blast. I give you the glory, praise, and honor for every hour you've allowed me to live. And Lord, I praise you and thank you for allowing things to be as well as they are. I praise you and thank you for remembering your mercy, love, and grace, even while you're chastising us and punishing us, which we all deserve. I praise you, Holy Father God, and I thank you for these blessings. And now, Lord, have everything that I say tonight, everything that I do, and I pray this for all of us, be done for your glory, praise, and honor. To be done for the glory, praise, and honor of Jesus Christ. Bless the preaching of your holy word, the songs of Zion, and the preaching of your holy gospel. Save that soul that is nearest hell, and reclaim the backslidden. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. For those of you who and you're with us tonight, that's good. Leave it. Thank God for you, and I thank God for so many of you staying through that prayer. You may not know this, but when you're really praying, prayer is probably the most wrestling thing that you will ever do. One of the most difficult things you'll ever do, because you're constantly fighting against the demonic spirits that are trying to stop you from praying. Go ahead and hit that. And so, Dr. John MacArthur said, no one sets out to become an apostate. He said, it's never the result of one abrupt, drastic turn away from the Lord. Instead, apostasy is most often the product of a pattern of sinful compromises that harden and gradually steer a professing believer away from the truth. Go ahead and clear this. Whatever that is right here. Whatever is on there, clear that off. And allow me to share that with you again. Take that. X all that out. Just X the whole thing out. So allow me to share this with you again. I want you to get this. apostasy, declining Christianity. Dr. John MacArthur, a great prophet of the Lord in our modern times, said no one sets out to become an apostate. It's never the result of one abrupt, drastic turn away from the Lord. Instead, apostasy is most often the product of a pattern of sinful compromises. And that's what many people have done over the past 50 to 60 years. That harden and gradually steer a professing Christian believer away from the truth. I have said in the past, and I still say it tonight, that many people have fallen away over the past 3.5-4 years. Very rapidly. And it seems like it is abrupt. No. I want you to get in your mind the fight between Muhammad Ali and Sonny Liston. I want you to get in your mind the fight between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman. And remember the flurries that knocked down the great Sonny Liston. Remember the rope-a-dope, the pounding away at the body of the giant, mighty George Foreman. And then recall the beautiful flurries that Muhammad Ali was capable of doing and finishing the job. Bam, 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 and he's down. That's what I believe happened to the church over the past 3 to 4 years, especially after the chastisement and rebuke of the church through the coronavirus plague, coupled with what is called wokeism. Wham, bam! Thousands, while millions were dying in the church, thousands of others were falling down in disbelief. And the devil set them up by what Dr. John MacArthur said. And then he said this: all false teachers, all purveyors of false religion are the enemies of Christ and the enemies of truth and the enemies of the gospel and the enemies of souls. And then, dear friend, talking about apostasy and the real gospel, real transformation, and this is what I mentioned to you earlier. Dr. John MacArthur said, a no-repentance gospel, a no-holiness gospel, a no-submission gospel, a no-transformation gospel is the devil's lie to give false security to damned people who are on their way to hell. And I'm adding that part. So for the protection of the church from the false teaching agents of Satan, the New Testament is crystal clear on how you can determine whether one is a believer. And then Dr. John MacArthur says this, and I believe this to be true. And I believe all true born-again Christians believe it to be true. He said, true Christians are transformed people, and their new life is very different in bold type than their former life. You can mark that down. You can take that to the bank. If you don't believe that, you are woefully deceived. And the people who did not believe it, they're the ones who fell like flies over the past 4 years. And many of them died because they were taking communion unworthily and giving communion unworthily. And so let me wrap this up with more teaching and more preaching regarding the falling away, the great falling away, which I believe that we're in the midst of. And allow me to say to all of the 7,000 church, allow me to say to the faithful few, allow me to say to the remnant church, don't be discouraged. And allow me to say this, you cannot save this world. Only God can. And so I want to urge you to do what you can. Confess your sins, repent of your sins, humble yourself, pray, seek God's face, turn from your wicked ways, and pray without ceasing. Follow the parable that Jesus Christ gave with the precept, men ought always to pray and not to faint. I know you feel like you're not doing enough, but all you can do is all you can do. You're not God. You're not Jesus. Okay? Stop thinking that you are. There's no need for you to be getting all up in arms and angry and mad because you can't do anything about it. But pray and make sure, get mad at yourself, and make sure you confess your sins. Be concerned about the evil you have done. Confess your sins, repent of your sins. And some of you need to go way back and confess your sins and repent of your sins before God Almighty. Humble yourself down. Pray. Seek God's face. Turn from your wicked ways. And then you pray without ceasing. Pray always. Continue instant in prayer. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. You may not be able to go to the mission field in Cambodia, but at least go to the mission field right where you live. Do something. I was out by myself on yesterday. I left my wife home, and she is supposed to remind me of certain things because I am getting old. My daughter Danielle Elizabeth, my youngest daughter, Danielle Elizabeth, she reminded me and the whole family every time we went out to pass out gospel tracts. And I was out by my cell phone yesterday, and God reminded me. And God gave me the privilege to pass out some gospel tracts and pamphlets. In a day and time when people do not want you to approach them for many reasons, and I would, unless you got God with you, I would recommend you don't mess with people too much unless you're going to give them the gospel. And if you get killed for that, so be it. But be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Even when you're passing out gospel tracts. But do something, in the words of Miles McPherson, do something for the glory of God. Pray for him and his church. They're going through hell right now. Pray for Miles McPherson. He's a good man, a good Jamaican man. And you pray for him out in San Diego, California, because the devil has hit him with a whammy, hit the church with a whammy, that this will not die down. In fact, they'll be all dead and gone before this dies down. It's tragic. Very painful. Bad things happen to good people. So, and all you can do, you can't go and fix it unless you're a lawyer. Are you a good lawyer? They might can use a good lawyer. And you can go and help them with that, because they need all the help they can get. Because this is going to be a whammy. But he said that, and it still stands up. Do something for the Lord if you can't do anything else. If you can't go out and pass out tracts because you got bad knees and you're bedridden, at least pray. Pray literally without ceasing. Just keep on praying. And that's what a whole lot of us need to do. Pray without ceasing. Dr. Guzik said, and I'm going to give you a quick review and then wrap it up, from last week. Signs mocking the coming of the Lord, the coming day of the Lord. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, that is the Antichrist, the son of perdition. For that day will not come. Paul will not describe events which must precede the rapture. That's when Jesus Christ is going to gather all of his saints unto himself, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Some will be alive and some will be dead. And that will be Jesus' first notification. Okay, all of this that's going on down here is over. Okay. I'm taking my people with me. And then I'm going to start dealing. But events that are concrete evidence of the Great Tribulation, the Day of Christ, in this sense, one cannot be certain the Day of Christ, the Great Tribulation, has come unless these signs are present. This phrase is not in, it is debated among scholars, but is very important for us to understand. It's very appropriately added. Dr. Alfred says of the phrase, "For that day will not come." So the authorized version supplies rightly. There does not seem to have been any intention on the part of the apostle to fill up the space. It supplies itself in the reader's mind. Unless the falling away comes first, the ancient Greek wording for falling away indicates a rebellion or a departure. Many Bible scholars debate if it refers to an apostasy among those who once followed God, or who at least said they followed God, or a general worldwide rebellion. And I like what Guzik brings out here. He said, in fact, Paul may have both in mind, and I concur with that, because there is evidence of each, pardon me, in the end times. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. Nevertheless, Paul's point is clear. You are worried that we are in the great tribulation and that you missed the rapture. But you can know that we are not in the great tribulation because we have not yet seen the falling away that comes first. And we are in the midst of the great falling away. I believe that we're in the midst of the great apostasy. In over 43 years of preaching the gospel, I've seen a lot, but I've never seen pastors and bishops and deacons and others in so-called leadership of the church fall away like I have seen them fall away over the past 15 to 20 years. I never thought that the church would accept nonsensical, demonic foolishness as they have. I never saw the day. I agree with Dr. David Jeremiah. I never thought I would see the day. I never thought I would see the day. You wonder why I'm so hard on pastors and bishops and priests. I'm so hard on pastors and bishops and priests because they have a tendency to be more focused on the people than they are on God. And they have a tendency, therefore, to forsake God and try to please the people. And they've been doing this for years. So you say, well, preacher, these pastors and bishops and priests don't like you too much, do they? No, they don't. And they never liked prophets who spoke the truth for God. And that's just the way it is. And so therefore, a pastor, a priest, and a bishop can be very rich, and a prophet can be very poor because they're not supported by the people, and they're not supported by the church, and they're not supported by the bishops, the priests, and the pastors. In fact, this group would like to see him go away because he's messing up their little sweet thing they have. But be that as it may, I still preach. And I'm going to preach the word of God, the gospel of God, until the day I leave this earth. And so for those of you who are with us tonight in multiple audiences, and you have never trusted Christ, you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to share with you some bad news and then give you some good news. One of the failures of many pastors and bishops and priests is that they don't give you the bad news and they hardly give you the good news. And when they don't give you the bad news from the Word of God, you will not appreciate the good news and you'll think it's easy peasy. And that you're already saved and you have never committed to Christ. So here's the bad news. Bad news number one, you are a wicked, evil, ungodly sinner. And so am I. So is the Pope. So are all of the bishops, pastors, and priests. So is the Dalai Lama. So is even Joel Osteen, pastor of the largest church in America. I want you all to hear me. All 2,195 of you. I want you to hear me well. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you, shall be saved. Bad news number one, you are a wicked sinner. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done evil in God's sight. We all have done wrong in God's sight. Not only you, but everybody. For all have come short of the glory of God. We all have sinned. Bad news number two is that we will die, every last one of us, because of our sins. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, the payment for our sins is death. Yes, God is loving, God is merciful, and so is Jesus Christ. But God rules the world by laws and by commandments. And if we don't obey God's commandments, and we do not take advantage of His grace by believing in His Son, Jesus Christ, we will all die and go to hell. And we're all going to die because of our sins. We go to hell if we do not believe in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that leads me to bad news number three. When you die, if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ while you're living, you will go to hell and spend eternity in that awful place. Jesus Christ, who cannot lie and never lied, said very clearly that hell is a place where the fire shall never be quenched. And the smoke will never cease going up. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all of the prophets. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than all of the apostles. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. So hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. And you can go to heaven and not go to hell by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. For here is the good news. Jesus Christ gave the good news himself better than anybody else. Jesus Christ said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shall be saved. That's the good news. You can be saved from hell and saved to heaven by believing in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Call on his name, for the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do it now. I'll be glad to lead you in the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I admit that I am a sinner. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to change and to repent of my sins. In Jesus Christ's name I pray and for his sake. Amen. God bless you, dear friends, for doing the most important thing in life. Email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com. Go to gospellightsociety.com and get your free book. God bless you. Until next time, I'll see you later tonight and tomorrow morning. Pray for me as I pray for thee.